Welcome again to our study on Know Your Bible. And in this session, we're looking at the book of Amos. God chose all kinds of people to be his servants. Some were royalty, like the prophet Isaiah. Others came from a priestly line, like Ezekiel. Some were quite wealthy, like Abraham. But here we have a man, Amos, who was a herdsman from Tekoa, a little village outside of Jerusalem. And he gathered, if I could say this, the poorest of the crops. This man was very poor. And yet, as he was following the herd, God spoke to him and said, "Go prophesy." God uses all kinds of people. And so you must not look at yourself and say, "Well, you know, I don't qualify. I don't have the education." Well, what about Amos? He had no education, albeit he seems to have known the history of Israel very well indeed, as we shall see in his prophecies. Well, I just want to encourage you. Look, if God can call a herdsman, one of the lowest of all, if I can say this, professions, and he can call him when he's just following the herd, then God can use you. If you would just open up your heart and be available to him, it doesn't matter who you are, God can use you. And that's the first message that I want to deliver from the book of Amos. You know, be open to God, that God can use you in the way that he wants to. And your profession basically will not hinder you. See? So here we are. Amos, go prophesy. Well, he was prophesying in a very prosperous time. It was during the reigns of Uzziah, king of Judah, and also Jeroboam II, king of Israel. I said it's a time of great prosperity because during the reigns of these two kings, God so blessed Judah and Israel that they got back all their territories that they had lost through the wickedness of kings in previous generations. And Uzziah himself, the king of Judah, was a very rich man. He had an abundance of cattle, lands. Jeroboam II, he was a wicked man, but nonetheless, God enabled him to get back all the lands that the other nations had taken away from Israel. So both countries were in a time of prosperity. So great was their prosperity that many of the people had summer houses as well as winter houses. They were indeed prosperous. You know, it speaks in one chapter of them being so prosperous. I mean, their beds were beds of ivory. They were able to have the calves, eat the calves from the flocks, the lambs from the sheep. And they could have anything they wanted. It was a time of great prosperity. But unfortunately, in this time of prosperity, the hearts of the people were not towards God. And you know, it speaks in the book of Proverbs and elsewhere that the prosperity of fools destroys them. And so, in this time of prosperity, their hearts went away from God. And also, they were dealing in all kinds of abominations. King Jeroboam II was being made sick by his princes with the abundance of wine that they were offering him. And the result was there was violence on every hand, and also the people were into deep idolatry, as well as enjoying the blessings of the Lord. And instead of turning to God and thanking him for all his goodness to them in enabling them to get back all those lands that they had lost beforehand, no, they were going into deep, deep sin. So therefore, Amos comes. And Amos's essential message is repent. But also he added this, that God would make, if I could say this, the nation to be overrun by their enemies. And of course, this message was far from popular. And indeed, the people near to the king protested and said to the king, send, Amos away. Send him back down south where he belongs, because he was prophesying in the northern kingdom. Well, that is the essential scenario whereby this book opens. But this book, although delivered by a very ignorant man, is full of spiritual treasures. And we want to look at some of them. And in chapter 3 and verse 3, and I just want to preface this with verse 2, it says this, you only, this is God speaking through the prophet to the nation of Israel, and he said, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. And God is saying, look, I chose Israel from all other nations to reveal to you my law, to reveal to you my ways, to show you my glory, to show you my power. And yet, you've gone into iniquity, therefore I'm going to punish you. And then, the very next verse is something I think is very important to indeed we want to grasp the truth of this verse. He says this, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now that's a very interesting thing, isn't it? You know, in the natural, you walk with people with whom you are in agreement. For example, if you're in politics, the Democrats don't walk with the Republicans. The Republicans don't walk with the Democrats. You walk with those of like mind. And also, Christians obviously don't walk with the unbeliever because they're not in agreement. They don't have the same vision. They don't have the same ideals. But this verse is more poignant than that. It is God speaking. And what he's saying is this, can I walk with you, Israel, when you're not in agreement with my laws and my views? You know, that's an awesome thing, isn't it? But wouldn't it be terrible if God said that to us? You know, and said, well, how can I walk with you? Because you do not walk in my ways. You do not love righteousness. You do not walk in holiness. And in other words, God is saying, look, I can only walk with people that indeed agree with me. And you know, if God is not walking with us, we're in great trouble. Because at the end of our life, where will we be going? We'll be going into hell. We'll be going to be as We were on this earth without God, but for a whole eternity. So I want to encourage you to meditate on this verse. What is God saying to you? What is God saying to me? Can I walk with you? Yes, if you will indeed walk in my ways, I will walk with you. But if not, you're without God. And the end result will be that for all eternity you'll be without God. Now look, where is God? God is in heaven. And where is God not? Hell. And the whole thing is this, that if we do not walk with God on this earth, then in eternity we shall be in a place without God. That is hell. Well, that's one very important truth that the prophet Amos develops. And then something else is very interesting. Verse 7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants the prophets. You know, one of the most beautiful things that the Lord Jesus said, you know, as he was in that upper room and just leaving the upper room and walking towards the Garden of Gethsemane, last day of his life, he said this, I will give you, I leave, he said, but I will send the Holy Spirit, I will give you the Holy Spirit, and he shall lead you into all truth, but something else, he shall show you the things that are to come. And that's a beautiful thing, you see, that as we walk with God, God indeed will show us the things to come. And as we looked at the last session, it's very clear. God says through the prophet Joel, you know, I'm pouring out my spirit upon my church, but also he tells us politically what are the events that lead up to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we walk with God, he'll show us the things to come. And yet, what were the people like? He said in verse 10, for they know not to do right, saith the Lord. They know not to do right. And they store up violence and robbery in their palaces. Isn't that true in many parts of the world today? Violence. Yeah, that's just what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He said, it's the days of Noah. So shall it be before I come again. And what were the days? In the days of Noah, they were days of violence. And those days are coming upon us. We can see it. Just turn on the TV. Violence everywhere. Well, now, we move on. And what does Amos say? He said, look, in chapter 4 and verse 12, he said, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Not only Israel that has to prepare themselves to meet God, but we too. You know, we do not know when our time is over. That was one of the lessons the Lord Jesus Christ taught. Concerning the rich man who was indeed building bigger barns, he said, thou fool, tonight thy soul is required of thee. And he said, after that, well, what are all these things good for? See, we don't know the time of our appointment. You know, we've just got a situation where we've just heard of a man just 40 years of age, you know, suddenly dies. Heart attack. You never know when a heart attack might take a person. See, now all these things are under the hands of God. But we don't know how long is appointed to us. It's one of the things that King Solomon said. You know, the bird of the air does not know when the net is prepared for him. Nor do the fishes of the sea. You know, they swim out one day. They don't know whether a net is prepared for them and they'll be taken, their life will be over. So it is with us. You know, we don't know the days of our appointment. And so, therefore, these words of Amos are very poignant indeed. Prepare to meet thy God. You know, there's somebody who had a vision of hell, and in going down to hell, escorted by the angel of the Lord, met a lady. And this lady, you know, seeing the Lord there, said, "Oh Lord, you knew that I wanted to one day come to you." But she said, "My chauffeur hit a lamppost and we were both killed." Yes, many of you might say, "Oh yes, I want to get ready to meet the Lord later on." But you know, later on might be too late. And this is essentially what Amos is saying. He said, prepare to meet your God. And then in chapter 5, he consistently repeats this theme, seek the Lord. Seek him who made the seven stars or the Orion. And then he says, seek the Lord and ye shall live. Are we doing that, you see? We cannot put it off. In verse 14, he says, seek good and not evil that ye may live. What are we doing? Are we seeking to do those things that are good, or are we seeking evil things? Or are we putting off that day of decision? It can be too late. The Lord says today is a day of salvation. And for you who are listening to me, it could well be that today is a day when you should ask the Lord into your heart. And then, a very interesting thing, you know, so many see the situation around, say, oh God, come, oh God, come. Oh God, come. When are you coming? When are you coming? But listen to what Amos says. He said, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? For the day of the Lord is darkness and not light. You see, you study the word of God and you will see so very clearly that all the events that lead up to the day of the Lord are days of darkness, days of tribulation, days of his wrath, days of violence upon the earth. Great darkness shall cover the earth. All these things before the day of the Lord. For the day of the Lord is a day of judgment. And so it is so important not just to say, oh, come, Lord Jesus. It's to say, Lord, may I prepare myself that when you come, I shall be ready and found to be a faithful servant and told to enter in to the joy of the Lord. And so we must look at the word of God and rightly divide the message. The message is very clear indeed. Lord, I want to be like you. Lord, cleanse me, purify me, save me. And oh God, that I might be walking on the pathway of righteousness when you come for me. Well, we continue. And Amos, you see, gives all kinds of warnings. And he indeed chastises them, verbally that is, for their luxurious living and their ignoring the ways of God. As I mentioned before, you know, they were so filled with all the riches and things of this world in chapter 6 and verse 4, they're lying on beds of ivory. In other words, they're putting all the money into their homes and neglecting the home that is above. It's far better to send up material to heaven so that the angels of the Lord can build you a home. That will be glorious. And you know, the material we send up are our lifestyle, our good works, our prayers, our witnessing, our relationship with the Lord. Well, the Lord said he hated those palaces that they built. You know, you've got to be very careful. Where are you putting your inheritance? Is it above or is it here? You've got to leave it here. You can take nothing with you. I think it was the Reverend Billy Graham who made this remark, that he'd never yet been to a funeral where they had a U-Haul truck following the casket. Why? Well, we take nothing with us. We leave everything here. Far better to put it up there where it's awaiting us on that day when we go to meet the Lord. All right. So, the Lord then goes on in chapter 7 and verse 7 and says, look, I'm going to put a plumb line. I'm going to measure my people. And if they do not line up with my law and my word, then he said, I'm going to reject them. I'm going to reject them. We don't want to be rejected by the Lord. We want to line up with his word. We want to live the life of righteousness. Well, we move on. And he gives another warning. You know, as Christians, we want to hear from God. And we want to hear what God is saying, what God is doing. And yet, if we do not walk uprightly before God, you know, God says in chapter 8 and verse 11 that he will send a famine. Now, not of bread, you know, or food, but of hearing the word of God. You know, there comes a time if we do not listen to what God is saying to us, God will say, fine, I'm not going to speak any more to you. I'm not going to speak any more to you. There was that wicked king Saul. You know, at the beginning of his reign, God spoke to Saul. God anointed Saul. When Saul was walking uprightly with God, God was with him. And God spoke to him. But you know, Saul turned away. And you know what the result was? God did not and would not speak to Saul. And Saul wanted to hear from God what was going to happen. God would not answer. And you know, that's a terrible situation when, as we see in chapter 8 and verse 11 of Amos, that God sends a famine of his word. There's no longer the true word that is preached. You no longer hear what God is saying when you go to church. And it's an awesome thing, you know, when God stops speaking to you. So let us be very careful that we do not come into that situation, but we so walk with God that he constantly speaks from us and we live day by day by the word of the Lord, the word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Well, we're bringing this book to a close, this exegesis, the book of Amos. And, you know, God always ends on wonderful promises. And here we are. He says in verse 11, he said, I will raise up again the tabernacle of David. What was the tabernacle of David? It was a tent on Mount Zion where the Ark of Covenant was and where David would go in to the very presence of God, and he would sit before the Ark of the Covenant, And he would speak to God, and God would speak to him. And God says, this is what I want to do for you. I want to bring you into my presence where you can just sit before me and commune with me. Speak to me and I will speak to you. And then the result is this. He gives an extraordinary promise here. He says, you know what will happen? Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and he that reapeth grapes, him that soweth the seed, and so forth. In other words, the harvest will be so great that before they brought it in, there will be the sower coming up behind them, sowing the seed. The harvest will be so great. And that's what God wants to give. An abundance in our life. He said, I've come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. And oh, that we know the abundant goodness of God. And that we will know, dear ones, as we walk with God, you know, at the end of our lives, oh, there will be that abundant harvest, that abundance everywhere, whereby the goodness of God will overtake us, and wherever we look, we will see God's goodness towards us. And that's what God wants to do for you, to give you the abundant life that he has, and we will receive it as we walk with him. May God grant that we will be in agreement with him, and he will walk with us through this life. God bless you.